This is the Welcome to Fatherhood Podcast. I'm your host. My name is Kelly, and I'm here to remind you, however you're listening and wherever you're listening, that as dads, we're just like moms. Except we're dads. Ha ha! All right, brother, I'm going to go ahead and ask you to start by introducing yourself.
All right. I'm Nate Watson. I don't know what you want to know. Father of four, married, from Michigan, originally in Orlando, Florida, now.
Okay.
But from Detroit. Yeah, man. I'm dad swag. If people don't know who I am already. But, yep.
Yeah, you got a big social media presence. So how did you come about producing that?
And just playing around with the app. Started years ago. I think it's probably been like 10 years.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was really just a joke. Me and my wife, just a joke. I used to call myself the coolest dad around. And I would call myself dad swag as a joke. And she said it actually sounded good. So just kind of kept with it. And then people started levitating to it. It's kind of cool. So I just stuck with it.
That's pretty dope, man. So take me back to like your early days as a father. What was that like? What kind of challenges did you come across early on in your time, and how have you seen fatherhood and the way that the fatherhood movement has evolved over the past 10 years?
I mean, when I first started having kids, most of my friends didn't have kids. So that was interesting in itself.
Yeah.
So a lot of time I was, you know, doing stuff with my kid and they didn't understand what was going on. So that was an adjustment in itself. Also, the stigma behind it wasn't the same. No, back then, he was like, man, you're having a kid. Oh, like your life is over. Mm. That's how they always treated it. You know, and it's kind of weird. But now it's not like that. It's changed so much. So much. But I like it. And we need unity between us all. The more we have people like me and you out here talking about it, the better it's going to get for our kids coming behind us. So I think it's a great thing.
How prepared or unprepared did you feel when you were becoming a father, to be a father?
I was unprepared. I didn't know what to expect, I think is what it was.
Yeah.
You know, I had no idea what it would be like. You know, I don't think any of us have an expectation, though. They tell you to be prepared, but how can you be prepared for something you've never seen?
Facts.
You know, so I always say I'm ready as I'm going to be, because it's the truth, right?
Like, yeah.
I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know how I was going to go. And I had been living here. So most of my family lives up north. So really me and my wife were doing all of it with the exception of a few friends. Mm-hmm. And some family here and there that would come in town to help. But it was really just us. I wasn't ready at all, really. But we made it happen, you know?
You just sort of have to figure it out as things go, right? I mean, you're right. There is no way to really prepare for what this is like, because you can't simulate what it's like bringing a child that you are responsible for into your home. Like you could do the school project of like taking care of an egg for a week, but like that, I mean, that doesn't necessarily do anything to help you understand or to even get an appreciation for the experience of, yo, I got to wake up at 2:00 in the morning. I have to, you know, help my wife out who may not be feeling well, depending on what kind of birthing event happened. You know, like I got to do X, Y, and Z. There is no way of simulating that. But now you're in the midst of that, right? You're figuring things out as you're going. What were some of the biggest challenges you faced in those early days?
In the early days.
I'm asking you to go way back into your memory bank.
Like way back, huh? Learn to be patient, you know, and to kind of keep calm. That in the early days was hard. Because a lot of times, especially when your child is young, especially like a baby or even a toddler, mm-hmm. you could have your kid crying and you don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
And really all you can do, you can't really communicate with the child because the child doesn't understand everything yet. So it's you trying to figure out the solution to figure out why this event's happening. That I think that was hard, but it taught you patience.
How did that dynamic of bringing a kid into, well, a child, your child, into the home now, into the relationship between you and your wife, describe how challenging that was for your relationship, if it was challenging for your relationship at the time, in terms of how you guys communicate, how you guys were now beginning to see each other as mom, as dad, in relationship to this kid?
I think it changed. I think it got better. Started seeing each other differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, really get to see how amazing she is with the kids. That was cool. You know, it's like the mother instinct kick in, and mm-hmm. she's doing all this stuff. And I'm like, how do you know this stuff? You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't know all this stuff. I'm trying to pick up from you, you know? And we call her my mom, sometimes calling her people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what, you know, we have questions, and it just evolves. But a lot of it, I have to give her credit, because I pick up a good amount of stuff from her. She may pick up stuff from me, I don't know. But I pick up a lot from her, a lot. And because she was just good. I'm like, well, how'd you figure that out? She's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And there's some things that we do, too. I know, like, putting my son to sleep was something that I had picked up. And I don't know. I just kept trying stuff, and stuff would work for me.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, how you do it? I said, I don't know. I just kept trying stuff, and it worked. You know what I'm saying? It's fun, though. We enjoyed it. We really did.
What I hear,
still are.
What I hear from you is that you weren't afraid to, number one, ask for help.
Yeah.
And number two, you were willing to see your spouse as a partner and not someone that you were in competition with or who was in competition with you. To me, that's like an indication of a solid relationship that was pre-existing before this child came along. So what do you think were some of the pillars of that relationship that helped you guys stay on the same page in those early days of bringing your child home?
Well, I know for me personally, I had to begin to communicate more because I'm getting still better at it. I think I'm still getting better at it mm-hmm. overall. I've gotten way better at it even more recently, but in the beginning, not being good at communicating, because I mean, most of us aren't taught that. I know being that, I'm trying to watch my words, because I love my dad, but my dad wasn't there in my later years.
Okay.
You know, like we cool, but we weren't as close as we could have been. So me learning to communicate with my wife wasn't something that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to blame it on him. So that's why I'm trying to say it like this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of us didn't see that growing up. So therefore, it was hard to try to figure it out. We didn't know who to ask questions about. And then I just remember one day talking to her, like, I think I need to just talk to you more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm sorry. So if I have an issue, I try to communicate it early so we can get out the way.
Because
mm-hmm. we want to actually be with each other for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We can't let stuff get in between us. And that relationship, even now, is still evolving because my kids are getting older. My youngest is only 7 now. So as we get older, things are changing now. You know, the relationship between us is different. But
yeah.
I think it's communication, man. That's the biggest thing. If you know, you're going to have nights when she's upset because, you know, she's tired and vice versa. But it's a team effort at the end of the day. So I figure out what's going to work.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Is it okay to ask you to talk about the dynamics of your relationship with your father early on and later on in your life and how that influenced in any way how you parent your own child or your own children and how you see yourself as a father?
I think me and my dad were cool. I think, and honestly, I probably need to talk to him about it one day, but I think he had a lot going on in his life mm-hmm. as a child
mm-hmm.
and growing into adulthood with his own father, mm-hmm. and they may have affected the way that he did us. So we were, you know, we were treated differently, but he did it the way that he thought he could, you know? And I still thank him, even though it wasn't what it could have been.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure he was doing what he thought he had to do or how he knew how to do it. So at this point, I got nothing against nobody, man. I just decided for myself that I needed to be there,
mm-hmm.
my influence, and I didn't want them to be like how I was coming up when I was missing my dad and when I wanted to do stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom did so much, but you still, for whatever reason, you always miss your family. You always miss your, you know, you always miss your dad.
Of course.
It's just how it is. You know, think about it. When you're growing up and you're not around your people as much anymore, you miss them. It's just natural. So I just decided I didn't want to be like that. I do my best to be around my kids as much as I can. I just feel like I'm really lucky, too. As a teacher, I get way more time than most dads get because I get summers and I get all their vacation times, too. So I try to spend it with them, make it count, you know. They only little for so long.
Was that a decision that you made because of your children to go into teaching? Were you already a teacher when you had children?
No, I wasn't. I decided, I can remember the first time I decided that I needed to change. I had a night where my oldest son had asked me to come home and play and do some other stuff. Mm-hmm. And I remember I had a shop and I was only person working. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, I'm going to have to stay late to finish this because this guy needs this tomorrow. I'm like, man, I'm failing this kid because I should be able to leave and go home. Mm-hmm. I got to figure out something else. And then just start looking for different avenues and ended up teaching because I teach auto body. So ended up teaching that. Now I can leave early enough to get home. Like there's days you might see on Instagram, I'm walking home to go pick up my kid because I want to walk home with him.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
That's stuff that I never got as a kid. I never got a parent walking me home. And that was me walking myself home. It's just different.
I'm kind of in the same boat. So my son is 2 years old and I'm already thinking about education and all of that. And I'm also thinking about availability because you're right. They're only little for a really small window. So I want to be able to do what you did when my son asks me, hey, dad, I need you for X, Y, and Z. I want to be able to have that flexibility. You know what I mean? To just be like, hey, I need to dip. So it is what it is and be able to go. So I'm also thinking about going into teaching. I don't know if I want to go into teaching in the traditional way. But I mean, you say you teach auto body. I'm trying to think like, yo, what skill can I learn so that I can teach somewhere? Or, yeah. You know what I mean? Like what certificate can I get just to be available at the same times that he's available? Because to me, that makes the most sense.
I think I just got really lucky. I ended up teaching high school and high school gets done early. Mm-hmm. So we're done at, you know, like 2:15, 2:20. That's the end of the school day. You're supposed to stay till a little bit longer. You stay till about 3. But my kids get out at 4. So if I want to, I'll shoot home, park the car, and I'll walk home with them. You know, it's a beautiful thing. And then in the summer, I hang out with them all summer.
Yeah.
You know, I do different things. We go back home, visit my mom, and it's cool, you know?
Yeah.
Not everybody gets that. I know of some dads who never get to see their kids, which is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So you just do your best. You make it work. Make it count when you do have the time. Mm-hmm. That's what I tell people. If you don't have the time, when you do have it, make it count. Have fun with them. Enjoy them.
Let's talk a little bit more on the personal side of things. So you were clearly an individual prior to having children. So what was your life like before you had your first child? And how seamless was it or how difficult was it to transition into fatherhood and not be able to perhaps do some of the things that you used to do before?
I mean, it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
It was a weird transition. That's what I'm gonna call it.
Yeah.
So I was laughing with my wife and she remembers there were times, I was talking to my homeboy about this too. Mm-hmm. I remember being able to go to work and I go to the gym and like we lift weights and then we hoop for like 4 hours straight, right? Mm-hmm. 5 hours straight basketball. Then come home, maybe eat something, maybe hang out, go to bed, do the same thing again tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Crazy, right? But I remember like a slow transition after I had my son and I'd be in the gym and they're arguing over a play. I'm like, man, is this really worth it to me anymore? Like, so I would leave. No, like I would do my workout. I play a little bit, mm-hmm. then I go home. Like, where are you going? Like, my son's at home. We're going to play with my kid. It was just a weird transition. I just knew that I was wasting my time. So I would just go. You know, the only downside to it, I think that's what happens later, is we begin to forget that we were individual people. So we begin to not do the little things like go out every now and again to do something. And not nothing crazy. Maybe it's just to go out to have a beer with a buddy. Like the little stuff we begin to forget to do for ourselves. And I fall victim to it a lot. I'll plan. I have to plan it. If I don't plan it, I usually don't commit to it like I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
You know, they say, hey, come out to this, because I like cars. They'll be like, come out to this car meet. I say, yeah, let me think about it. But if I don't write it down, I'll usually end up flaking on it sometime. And it's not personal. It's just, I really like being at home.
Yeah.
But I got to remember to not forget about myself. But that's the hard part.
But how weird was that for your friends? What, how, like your perception, right? Because you say you were one of the first ones to have children before your friends.
Yeah, I was.
So, like, was. What was the some of the feedback from your buddies who are like, bro, like, I don't even know you anymore?
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't explain it to them. It's a thing that you can't explain a love for a kid. I don't know how you explain that. It's like a connection and you're like, I'll do whatever you need me to do.
Yeah.
If it's for you. But you can't explain that to somebody else. It's funny, my brother used to say that. He's like, you'll never know love until you have your own kid. He used to say that a long time ago. And I never understood it till I had my first one.
Yeah.
Like, man, he was right. This is love. Like, you literally do whatever you got to do for that kid. Never understood it, though, until I had my own.
Did you find that your circle of friends shrunk when you became a father? Was there any change to your social circle at all? Or, like, how did having a child impact, you know, aside from not being able to go out as much as you wanted to, even though you're like, I don't even want to do this anymore. But in terms of, like, the crowd that you hung out with, was there any impact to that whatsoever?
Yeah, absolutely. I know anything that I feel like would put me at harm, I didn't want to be around either. It's kind of weird. Because I'm like, I got somebody depending on me now. So if you're like, hey, I'm going to go hang out. Like I said, I do a lot of car stuff. Like, hey, let's go hang out at this meet. And it's at, you know, 10, 11 o'clock over in this area. I'd be like, no, I'm good. I'm not going to that. Because I know what could potentially happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be involved. You know, you just start picking and choosing. And if they don't like it, I was like, I'm sorry, man. This is me now. You know? So some people you begin not to talk to, some get it, and some just don't.
What I'm hearing from you, because I remember saying this when, like, early on in my fatherhood journey, I realized that becoming a father was changing me in very surprising ways. Other ways, it was not that surprising, but there were a lot of areas where I'm like, oh man, you know, just like you, like, this now makes sense. Like, I'm not gonna do this. Like, I'm not gonna go there. Or I want to do things in a particular way that's different than how I used to do it before. Like, I just want to be home with my kid. Even though he was, and I'm talking about like the early days. So he's like a couple of months old. He's not doing anything but sleeping. And I'm just like, I just want to watch him sleep. you know what I mean? I just want to be there. So what I'm hearing from you is that there's this transition that naturally was happening. And you didn't fight the transition, not minimizing how challenging it might have been in some places, and not others. But there wasn't this fight against, yo, let me try to retain as much of my old identity prior to becoming a father as possible, at the expense of embracing fully your identity now as a father being in this role. And I think a lot of men end up doing the latter as opposed to the former for whatever their reasons, right? It's like, yo, I don't necessarily want to, or I should say the former rather than the latter. I don't necessarily want to embrace that identity fully because there's still something in the old life, if you will, that is appealing. And sometimes I wonder if that's what, you know, goes on in the head of some guys who end up, you know, not being as present as they could be, or ultimately just turn their backs on their family and just, you know, live a reckless life as if they're not somebody else's father.
I wonder too. And, you know, the only other factor I could figure out or think of is, you know, maybe you have a situation where you don't get along with the mom.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, most people, I would hope, would do their best to try to make it work. But, man, I don't know if you know anybody who's in the situations. Like, I have a situation like that. And there's difficult times where you two don't see eye to eye.
Yep.
And it makes a strain on you.
Yeah.
But what I kept reminding myself is I can't leave this child just because, you know, this the other party doesn't get along with me.
Mm.
And I may not be getting along with them. But, man, we got to figure out this and make it work. Because at the end of the day, the only person you're hurting is the kid.
Mm-hmm.
That kid's getting hurt. Because that kid's like, man, my dad doesn't want to come see me. Or I don't even hear from my dad. Or whatever the case is. Because I remember those feelings myself. I don't ever want to put it on anybody else, especially my own. So I think that's why, I'm pretty sure that's why I am the way I am. I knew how it felt, you know?
Yeah.
I knew how it felt to be like, you go to play ball, you know, you're doing well, and you're looking for your pops in the stand. He's not there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew what that felt like. Mm-hmm. Or everybody else's dad is there, yours ain't.
Mm-hmm.
I remember those feelings. I'll never want my kid to have that feeling. So I just do my best. Can't make everything, but I try to.
That is a very powerful thing that you just said. I was having a conversation with someone not too long ago, and that's pretty much the conclusion that we came to. From the perspective of the adults, we're bickering at each other. You know what I mean? I have it out for you, you have it out for me, and so we're bickering at each other. From the perspective of the child doesn't necessarily see or interpret what they see as, oh, mommy and daddy are just bickering at each other, but this has nothing to do with me. Most often the child is saying, mommy and daddy are bickering at each other, maybe because I didn't do something well.
Yeah.
Maybe because, you know, and you name it, it could be anything like, coincidentally, the kid didn't do his or her homework, you know, the day before. The next day, mommy and daddy are bickering at each other. It's not a far-fetched to say that child is going to say, oh my gosh, mommy and daddy are bickering at each other because I didn't do my homework yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like and none of it is true. None of it is true. But unless the adults have the wherewithal to realize what we're doing, we're not the ones that are necessarily hurting each other. We're hurting our child more than we're hurting each other.
Yeah,
this whole thing is just going to. So it was through your account that I saw that viral video recently of the guy who brought the food to his child. And the mom came out and she started getting on his case because he ain't bring no food for her other kids.
Right.
So I was browsing IG and I saw it on your account and I was like, yo, that is just
mind blowing.
Yo.
Mind blowing.
What are your thoughts on that video?
See, I wish I had more context, but
yeah, because all we had was that little snippet.
But I don't mean, I go back and forth with it. It could have been handled differently. If they got along, it could have been handled way differently.
Facts.
Like, she could have been like, hey, I'd appreciate it if you brought the other kid something, because when he has something, nobody else does. And that could have been the end of it. Or it could have been, hey, I know you want to come pick up your kid to get some food, so why don't you come pick him up, let him go, they can go eat together and then come back.
Facts.
It could have been a lot of different scenarios,
yeah.
But because of the communication and they don't get along, it was dysfunctional. And it went completely out of, I mean, how you throw... You got the food. How do you throw it on the floor like that? That's so messed up. No. I don't know if you've seen the whole video.
No, I didn't see the whole video.
Threw it. At the end, she gets mad and she throws it on the sidewalk. Imagine the kids watching, you know? Now she sees dad being disrespected. Not only that, the food that was bought for him is on the ground. It's like, man, at least be like, hey, I'm going to let you have them. Why don't you guys sit in the car and eat for a little bit? and let me explain to the other kids, or hey, next time, can you at least do it like this, like that? But that's not the answer, you know, just because they don't get along.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Or from the guy's side, he could have been like, okay, I know she has other kids at the house. I can't show up just with food for my son. So even though they're not my kids, but you know what I mean? Like that's going to look bad for my son to be the only one eating and the other kids ain't.
Yep.
So like, hey, yo, ask the other kids what they want. Because the fact of the matter is those kids, even though they're not his biological kids, they're his biological kids' siblings. So, that point that you made is so spot on. The adults can be fighting, but who really gets hurt are the kids.
Yeah, don't hurt the kids. He could have even bought $5 pizzas.
Yeah.
Little Caesars. Like, look, they like cheese or like pepperoni. Okay, I'm going to buy one of each and y'all can split it. Whatever.
Yo,
look,
a Happy Meal.
It's about $10 at Wendy's too, so.
A Happy Meal don't cost that much money, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's that simple. So, yeah, I mean, we're not making any judgments on the guy or the lady, for that matter.
Yeah.
It just could have been handled in such a different way, and that serves as, like, such a clear and recent example of that right there.
It's that lack of communication that they could have hashed it out. Even if they would have both stepped outside, hashed it out real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm going to let you take them real quick and y'all can eat somewhere else for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Come back. But next time, please, can we work something out?
Mm-hmm.
Even that would have went better,
mm-hmm.
you know? Or he could have said, hey, my bad. I realize you don't like this. Next time I'll buy pizza for them, you know? Or, hey, can I just take my kid just one time and then next time I'll do whatever. It could have went so many different ways in that scenario, you know?
Yeah.
But nobody communicated. They just blew up at each other and that was it.
What are some of the thoughts that occupy your mind as yourself, a Black father, raising, you know, Black children and our social context that has come more to a head since 2020? What was that time period like for you in terms of the conversations that you might have been having with your children? And where are you at along the trajectory of always navigating all of these issues as a Black father?
You know, it's crazy because I worry about them because my kids walk to school and I worry about them every day walking. Matter of fact, I got a short story. My son because my son's in band. He had a party, like an after school party.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to bring the TV and his Xbox, right?
Mm-hmm.
First thing in my head was, you can't bring that TV to school with you.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's a little small flat screen, first thing I think is, and my kids are tall. There's a 13-year-old kid, but he looks like he's 17 or 18. Carrying a TV, they're going to think you stole it. It's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So I told him, I said, well, if we can figure out a way to put it in a car, low, covered, then we can figure it out. Or you go to school, I'll bring it to you at the end of school then. So we end up doing something like that. But it sucks because you don't want to have to be worried about your kid out here in the world. And as he gets older, you know, he looks more of a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that aspect of it. I don't know why. I don't know if it's the images that are on TV or media that make us look like a threat. But as soon as you see a kid with, you know, long hair and his skin's darker than yours, hell, even when they're adult and they have tattoos,
mm-hmm.
you automatically, they assume we're a threat until they speak to us and they realize that we have education. They realize that we're not up to any harm. It sucks, man. It really does.
Have you had to have the conversation, the talk with your sons?
I've had small talks just to explain things to him. Mostly my oldest, not really my youngest, my middle son or my youngest yet, but they have an idea of, you know, things. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to try to talk about some of that stuff.
What were some of the things that they were expressing to you during 2020 as they were watching the world go up in flames over George Floyd and then Breonna Taylor and all the other ones that have happened after, and even the ones that they were probably just learning about as a result of what was going on at that time?
I don't know. I don't really remember my son having seen too much of it.
Okay.
But I know that he seen some of the other things, like about the police and things, mm-hmm. and I had to try to explain that to him. You know, people were marching and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I remember having to explain things to him like that, that because I had to let him know not to be afraid of all officers. Some officers are going to help you.
Yeah.
Probably a good majority, I'm going to be honest, probably going to help you. Mm-hmm. But there are going to be that select few that aren't, and they don't care. They just going off of what you look like, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And that's our problem. You know, those particular people, for whatever reason, don't have a care for us. And that's just the reality. So you do your best to be you, you know, obviously comply, mm-hmm. but know your rights too,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's a hard situation all the way around.
Yeah, dude, I agree with you 100%. Just the thought of having to have that conversation with my son is already anxiety producing. I wouldn't even know where to begin, what to say, what not to say. You know what I mean? Like, I would feel like I'm about to burst his innocence bubble.
How is your kid? I'm sorry.
He's two.
Okay. It gets burst anyway. When my kid hit middle school, that innocence bubble, I just got on him last night again about messaging, like the group messengers mm-hmm. on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they speak to him, and they you know, if they friends, they go back and forth, cracking jokes. I said, some of the, you can't write this stuff. Mm-hmm. So this stuff is recorded. Your life is way different than ours. At that point, I already know his innocence is gone because mm-hmm. I'm reading what they write. You know, but at the same time, it's interesting to see that he's still poised as a young adult.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when he's having fun and being silly, they say things to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to correct him. Hey, you can't act like this. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't do that. This isn't for you. And I know you're not like that, you know. It's okay to, and I told him it's okay to retreat and be like, hey, I got to go. Y'all are being weird. I got to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's fine. Be yourself. You know, like I give you permission to be you. It's something that I tell my kids all the time. Be you. You know, it's okay to be like, nah, that's not cool. I'm not doing that. Or I'm not involved in that.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, I think some people don't know it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. We felt peer pressure, and our kids are going to feel peer pressure. Peer pressure is just a part of life.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go away whether you're an adult or you're a child. And so that attitude right there of being confident in who you are and knowing who you are, not just being confident in who you are, like you got to know who you are first. And a lot of that comes from having, in my opinion, a well-established rapport and relationship with, you know, your family, like your nucleus, where you emerged from the world, you know, every day. Like that has to be set. And yeah, that's pretty cool, dude. Last thing I'm going to ask you, man, thank you for giving me, you know, a chunk of your time. You've been in the game for over 10 years or about 10 years.
With Dashwag?
Yeah.
Probably. And didn't even realize it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've been in the game for a while. You're a veteran compared to me.
Okay.
You've seen a lot. You've experienced a lot. How would you advise? How would you encourage a young father like myself, like anybody else who is just stepping into this role to continue to like, what we just said, just be yourself and let this fatherhood thing fully engulf you, understanding how challenging it might be and some of the issues surrounding why it's a little more difficult for Black men like me and you to really step up and show up like we want to be as fathers.
There's so much. You already said it. Be yourself. That's all your kids want to see anyway, is you be yourself, whether it's silly, whether it's demanding because you're telling them who you want them to be, whether it's anything, discipline, whatever it is, just be yourself. You know, obviously you got to be the dad that, you know, you're not going to do anything to hurt them,
mm-hmm.
but you still got to be you. at the end of the day, and they'll begin to see it. You'll gauge it on your own. I don't think there's any really rules to it. As long as you're not harming your child, there's really no rules to being a good dad. I think you just do your best and be present, because I'm not perfect at all.
Mm-hmm.
I know I mess up, and I go back and apologize sometimes to my kids when I feel like I was wrong too. So, and to my wife, if I have to, it's just do your best and be you, be present. Just keep trying. Try to better yourself at the same time if you can too. And don't forget to take time for yourself, is what I'm learning later on, being that I'm realizing that now that my oldest kid is 13, mm-hmm. I'm realizing there was times when I didn't really get out a lot to just give myself a minute to come back and look at it differently. You know, I think that's where I'm at right now. But yeah, just be you and enjoy it. You know, enjoy all of it, because there's so much. To me, it's fun.
So yeah,
you know, because you're the superhero, right? Like, we the superheroes in this scenario.
That's true.
It's fun. It's fun being a superhero.
Yeah.
Even when you're like, I'm terrible. Yeah. In your head, right? And this kid will look at you like, you're the best. You're like, damn. It just brought me way up here.
I agree.
Yeah, that's cool,
brother. I can't thank you enough, man. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you sharing from your personal experience and your perspective, and for being the presence that you have been on social media for the past, you know, 10 plus years of just being yourself and letting people gravitate to you. So all the best to you and your family moving forward.
Hey, you too, man. Thank you. If you never need something, I'm around, man.
Appreciate it, my guy. We'll be right back.